world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Maybe what a Friday it is. You had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. Do we have a lot to talk about as we head into the final weekend of July? We'll get you there on this Friday. 4 hours, probably not enough to get to all of the content today. So much going on with the historic and swift change of college athletics happening throughout the course of the week. It'll be culminated this morning. Also, trades, dizzying trades in the NBA on the night of the NBA draft. Trade deadline in Major League Baseball, and the trades are flying there as well. We've also got international soccer here in Austin last night with U.S. men's national team in town and a packed house at Q2 Stadium. What a weekend and what a show we should have. Lot to do. Glad you're with us. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm, and appreciate you being there early every morning. However you find us, on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260. You know we're always streaming for you, live, local, and digital. Take us wherever you go on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated as getting closer and closer to getting us on that Fort Hood base to do a show sometime this fall.
Nice.
Getting closer and closer, just waiting to hear from some people. I knew it wasn't easy. We've been trying to do this for 20-some years, I even back to my Bob Cole days. But I think I'm getting closer. I keep getting passed along.
Yeah,
you know, I guess that's how it is. I mean,
bureaucracy.
Yeah, but the base is a little bit safer than when we were trying years ago. It was 9/11. It was all kinds of stuff going on. But I've been passed around to about four different people, and I think I got to be passed around at least three more times before that happens. But that's all right. I'm going to keep on pushing.
We always hear from folks, soldiers and folks who work at
Absolutely.
Fort Hood, and hey, come to a show at Fort Hood. Come on up.
If you got some pull up there, once again, yeah. I've
do
got
us a
few,
friendly.
Do us a friendly. We'd love to get on that base. And man, can you imagine the soldiers marching in front of us at 6 a.m. as they go by us, shouting out their, you know, they'll be shouting out Army, Navy, but they'll be shouting out Oklahoma. They're from all different parts of the world, so they would be shouting out. That would be quite a show. That'd be a fun thing to do.
I don't think they'll be shouting Navy.
No. No, I'm sorry. They'll be shouting out Army. They will never be shouting out Navy.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a fun Friday, man. It is packed. You know, normally end of July is kind of a slower time in sports. That is absolutely not the case on this Friday morning with just major, major stories. The Olympics continue. Gosh, NBA, NFL training camps are all open with 32 teams, including the Cowboys and Texans. And, man, let's get to the headlines, try to get you caught up on all the news. The news cycle is spinning quickly as we speak. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and yeah, we'll start with the college football news of the morning, daily update, and it's a historic day yesterday for the Texas Longhorns, to say the least, and a monumental day of change in college athletics when the 14 current presidents of the Southeastern Conference gathered on a video conference yesterday afternoon and voted unanimously to admit Texas and Oklahoma as the 15th and 16th members of the SEC effective in 2025. A swift and stunning week of change in college athletics will be culminated this morning when both Texas and Oklahoma will hold separate Board of Regents meetings scheduled for 9 a.m., expected to ratify the move from the Big 12, where, of course, Texas and Oklahoma were founding members of that conference, helped put it together back in 1994. They are now going to ratify a move to the SEC. We'll dive into that, obviously, head first. 2021 NBA draft in the books, as expected. Detroit Pistons got a busy night started by selecting Cade Cunningham. The do-it-all guard out of Oklahoma State is the number one pick. Houston Rockets picked G League star Jalen Green with the number two pick. Cleveland went with USC big man Evan Mobley at three. Rockets, by the way, added four new players in the first 24 picks last night, including that number two overall pick. Spurs selected Alabama shooting guard Joshua Primo with the 12th pick of the draft. Three former Longhorns selected over the two rounds last night. 19th pick overall, Kai Jones, goes to the New York Knicks, who then promptly traded his rights to the Charlotte Bobcats. Greg Brown, the freshman out of Vandergrift, was selected with the 43rd pick in the second round by the New Orleans Pelicans. He was also traded to Portland in a draft night trade. And with the 58th pick last night, New York Knicks back on the clock and took former Longhorn Jericho Sims. Blockbuster trade completed in the NBA just ahead of that draft last night. The LA Lakers have agreed to to a deal with the Washington Wizards to acquire Russell Westbrook in exchange for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the 22nd pick last night. It's third new home in as many years for the 33-year-old Westbrook, who started at UCLA back in college. He is now back to L.A. to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Whirlwind of baseball trades yesterday as well. This afternoon, 3 o'clock, is the non-waiver trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Biggest of the deals also in Los Angeles, where the Dodgers swooped in and agreed to a deal to acquire right-hander Max Scherzer and star shortstop Trey Turner from the Washington Nationals for a massive haul of prospects. Also yesterday, New York Yankees, one day after acquiring Joey Gallo from the Rangers, acquired first baseman Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs. Red Sox landed all-star Kyle Schwarber, also from the Washington Nationals. On the field last night, Rangers and Astros both off. Round Rock opened a 12-game homestand at Dell Diamond with a 3-1 victory over the Dodgers. And international soccer at Q2 Stadium last night. Another packed house on hand to see the U.S. men's national team beat Qatar 1-0 and advance to the Gold Cup final. The only goal of the night came in the 85th minute. They're now going to advance to face Mexico in the final on Sunday in Las Vegas of the Gold Cup. Mexico topped Canada 2-1 last night in the other semifinal.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Whew.
Man. Yeah, man, Q2 rocking and rolling with the men's national team, who actually are playing pretty well. I got to give them credit. The way they're playing in Gold Cup is fantastic. That for us is a good thing. Maybe some of these guys that will move on to different parts of the world, hopefully. Someone will stay, maybe play in the MLS. Maybe not, but maybe they will. That was a good showing last night. They've had a good showing all summer long in the Gold Cup. So,
and they'll play
Mexico.
Some
stars.
Mexico.
This is what everybody wanted, too, once again, the United States to play Mexico in the finals of the Gold Cup. So
yeah, another
we get that.
Soccer frenzied crowd last night on hand at Q2.
Oh, yeah.
You see that, and unfortunately, it was kind of shades of their own home team, the Austin FC. They had to
wait
until
the
85th minute to get a goal on the board.
That's soccer.
That's soccer. But U.S. men get the victory, and part of a really busy night. It was crazy yesterday afternoon with, obviously, we knew it was going to happen, but when it becomes official, it's a major story when the SEC, yesterday afternoon, just before 5 o'clock, finally had their vote, and about 4:30 when it came down, 14-0, 14-0 unanimous for Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. As we said, 9 o'clock this morning, the Board of Regents meetings will happen to ratify, and obviously the wake is left and where it's headed with the Big 12, the remaining Big 12 teams, based on the cease and desist letter that Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the Big 12, sent to ESPN. That, you know, is a clear signature that the Big 12 is going to fight like hell and make this as tough as they can on Texas and Oklahoma as far as this goes. But I think it's fair to say that Texas, Oklahoma not doing this without, you know, good legal course and believing they have a way to get into that conference sooner rather than later. But we'll see how it plays out. But boy, we kind of maybe get caught up a little bit just talking in the day-to-day details and maybe don't look back at the 30,000, you know, foot view of this thing. This is a massive, massive seed change in college athletics. It's massive for the University of Texas, who, along with Oklahoma, were founding members of the Big 12 Conference back in 1994. When DeLoss Dodds and Donnie Duncan helped, you know, take what was left of the Southwestern Conference and mold it with the old Big 8 Conference and make the Big 12, obviously that conference over 26 years has had some high highs, but also disintegrated over time, and that continued yesterday with the move of the top two schools to the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, the dog and pony show that Bob Bowlesby put up the other day, I mean, those theatrics were, they will go in vain, but he has to still continue to do his job and try to secure what he can of what will be an implosion of the Big 12 very shortly, as everybody runs off, because they have to run off to figure out what's best for them. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of the bigger things in sports in the last 20-some years, this maneuver right here, because it only it doesn't happen that often in the SEC. It's happened, I think, 3 times over the last 30, 40 years. So these things don't happen like every year. Two more schools don't join the SEC. These things take some time, and for the Big 12, this truly is the end of the Big 12, and it's official. It's been looked at up and down, and it'll change a lot of schools. It'll change the direction of where schools go, where they play football, and I'm not going to say if they play football, because that would be a total disaster, I believe, for the game of football. People would still watch, but I would hate to see people not play the game anymore. They'll find their places, they'll find their divisions, and football will continue on. Just the higher level of football is going to have their certain few, and it's going to be competitive from a financial point and from wins and losses, too. You're going to have to really, really be good to compete. And for Texas and Oklahoma, right now Oklahoma has the upper hand and where they stand when it comes to football in general. But, you know, Texas and Chris Beard will go into the SEC being, with the exception of Kentucky, and they haven't been that good over the last couple of years. Texas will be maybe the best team in college basketball in that conference in the SEC.
Well, possibly, with the roster that Chris Beard has built. But obviously,
over the next couple of years, it's not like it's going to get worse for him.
Well,
it'll get better,
I believe. Obviously, they'll play in the Big 12 this year with the roster that he's built. But
right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But, I mean, obviously, the schools remaining are going to continue to play football. It's just in what conference and in what form. And, you know, this move, which we culminated this morning, it's at some level 10 years in the making. I mean, obviously, if you go back to when DeLoss Dodds and Bill Powers in Texas were, you know, working to, you know, work with the Pac-12 to build the Pac-16 and everything that was going on there. Way back, obviously, conference realignment 10 years ago nearly happened. It didn't. Texas A&M pulled out of that deal, which, you know, forced everybody to put the brakes on that move. But remember, A&M agreed to come back and be part of the Big 12 conference then, and then they abruptly bolted along with Missouri out of the conference 1 year later, which, you know, at that point when the Big 12 went from, because remember, DeLoss Dodds and they were moving to go to Pac-16. That was going to be the big move, get Texas aligned with the USC's and the Stanford's and the schools on the West Coast, along with, you know, six current members along with themselves of the Big 12 conference. That didn't happen. Texas A&M was the main reason it didn't. And then A&M, you know, it was going to stay the Big 12 with 12 teams. And then A&M and Missouri jumped to the SEC, which really, you know, began this process 10 years ago. And, you know, the new leadership at Texas has made a pretty visionary and bold move to say, you know what, we're going to the Southeastern Conference, and we need to be in that spot. That's the future of college athletics as far at the highest levels, and that's where we need to be. So
we're the highest brand. We should be at the highest level. Our brand is so big.
Yeah.
Why would we stick around and hang with you? And for Bob Bowlsby and Sankey, I mean, these two guys worked hard together on getting this 12-team playoff, getting it out of four and getting it to 12. They were working hand-in-hand.
Yeah, they were part of the four-person committee, yeah.
Along the whole time, Bowlsby was getting shanked by Sankey. I mean, they had his arms around each other, and he was going...
That's true.
I mean, they worked together.
Yeah, the preliminary group that helped build the proposed 12-team playoff, the expansion of four teams to 12, included Greg Sankey of the SEC, the commissioner of the Mountain West, Bob Bowlsby, the commissioner of the Big 12, and the Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick. That was the four-man committee that put that together, and obviously that's now on the table. But this move, does that put that in jeopardy? Some suggest potentially as far as the expedience in which that could happen. And
if it's put on hold, then it's going to be more than 12. It's going to be big because everything else is moving towards a big way.
Yeah.
Then why do 12? Why just go ahead and make it 16, 20, or whatever it is? I liked it when we were talking 8 and 12 and all that stuff, but the way things are going, it's liable to be, if it's held up a little bit longer, they're liable to find a way to make it more than that, make it more than 12.
I don't know that it gets larger. It's just where the conference is going to be, how are they going to line up? Because this is obviously the first move of conference realignment part, you know, two or three or four, whichever number you want to put on it. And how does that all shake out? Because remember, part of the proposal for the 12-team playoff was the six highest-ranked conference champions get into that.
So what are the conferences?
Who's in what conference and where does everybody land?
It does put a hole on that.
Who's where? But at the same time, I think, you know, the all sides, the business side would like to see it happen sooner than later. And we'll see. What I was told yesterday about the Big 12, Buck, is a couple things that I think are of headline. I was told by someone close to the Big 12 that I don't think there's a lot of interest in the Big 12 schools in the other major conferences. Pac-12 is having their media days this week, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest. You know, does Texas Tech move the needle at all? It gets you into Texas. TCU's got the religious affiliation, which is going to be a problem for the Pac-12. Oklahoma State, and so the at least at this point, the conventional wisdom is that for the Pac-12, none of the remaining eight move the needle. And then the Big Ten is kind of sitting and waiting and being patient. And, you know, Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa State, did that actually move the needle? Maybe not, which, again, puts those eight schools in a precarious spot as far as where to land big picture. And that's why, you know, of all the things that Bob Bowlsby accused ESPN of in his letter and in his several interviews that he did earlier this week, the rant that he went on. Look, and let me say this about Bob Bowlesby. Remember, he's the commissioner of the Big 12 Conference, so he's essentially the man that speaks for the 10 presidents of the Big 12, and two of those presidents are on the way out. So the eight remaining need someone to be the voice and fight for what they're believing in. And so Bob Bowlesby's, you know, temper tantrum was really about, hey, look, we want to protect these eight teams as much as we can. And here's what I was told yesterday, Buck, is it's really between the Big 12 and the American Athletic Conference at this point that, you know, the Big 12's option, if Pac-12, Big 10, ACC aren't interested in cherry-picking a couple of the top remaining Big 12 schools, which it doesn't feel like they are right now. There was early conversation, but nothing imminent for sure, that the Big 12's options are to try to cherry-pick the top teams out of the American Athletic Conference, maybe see if you can get Memphis and Cincinnati and Houston, Central Florida, like those top four teams, and say, hey, come join the Big 12. We'll be back to 12. And the one thing that you need to remember about the Big 12 is they, right now, as we sit here this morning, still have their Power 5 status, which means they get a seat at the table with the other Power 5 conferences, right?
We talked about that yesterday. We knew that. But they still have that. But financially, we said that it doesn't do much for you financially, does it?
Well, but it does do this in the real time. To maintain the Power 5 status, meaning when there's a meeting of the Power 5 with ACC, Big 12, or ACC, Big
Pac-12,
10,
yeah,
they have a seat at that table when big decisions are made. The American Athletic Conference does not. They don't have that designation. So the Big 12 still has the upper hand when it comes to that, and that's where I think Bob Bowlesby and the leaders of the remaining eight schools think, look, let's use that status to try to cherry-pick some top schools out of the American Athletic Conference to continue, and we'd still be Power 5. We'd still have good football. We'd add, Memphis. Cincinnati's a good program.
Yeah, but once again, it only takes two teams that when you say they're not interested, if somebody becomes interested,
I'm just telling you, that's what I was told yesterday, is so far it doesn't feel like the other major conferences are that interested in what's left. They may get there, because remember, if you're going to add teams, it's got to make financial sense big picture, because you're now splitting your pie two more ways. And at least initially, it doesn't feel like there's much interest from those three conferences, ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. So now you're down to the Big 12 and then the American Athletic Conference. And what Bob Bowlesby accused ESPN of in his cease and desist letter was that ESPN was trying to push the American Athletic Conference to poach the top remaining members out of the Big 12 to, push into their direction. And really, to me, this is going to come down to those two things. Does the Big 12 actually grow with members from the American Athletic Conference, or does the AAC add the top members from the remaining Big 12, the Big 12 dissolves, and the American Athletic Conference then becomes a Power 5 status conference, and the Big 12 just disappears?
As I asked yesterday, why wouldn't you go try to get Cincinnati, Houston, and those teams to join the Big 12? Then it became a money thing. They're not making any money, and they don't have a seat at the table. Now, they can get to the playoffs if they win their conference,
right?
But other than that, where's your money? Where's your power? Where's your TV rights? Nobody, the American Athletic Conference, they're not, they have decent teams. They don't have, teams that run off for 5-8 years in a row like Cincinnati has, a couple years in a row where they're good, and then they can become bad. Houston has a couple years where they can become good, and then they become bad. So there's not enough consistency there. So I don't understand why they wouldn't just join in with the Big 12. And Bob Bowlesby, as I said yesterday, dude, you should have been. That's your deal. Go get them. Don't wait for somebody to come. But if nobody's interested in your teams, you better bring in some teams. You should have been bringing in teams a couple years ago.
Correct. But you're right about that. And that's kind of where I think what you just said and what I said is true. That's why Bob Bowlesby is furious at ESPN. He's trying to poach the top teams out of the
sure.
American Athletic Conference, so that they maintain that Power 5 status. They're going to look. All the schools are going to make less, because Texas and Oklahoma are leaving.
That's right.
Their take's going to be less regardless. But without a move of adding those top teams out of the AAC, the AAC, the Big 12 won't exist. And it'll be gone. And so Bowlesby's anger is, look, ESPN, if you're playing with this thing and trying to tip the scales and put your thumb on the scales of this thing and tip it in favor of the American Athletic Conference, I mean, that's what he's mad about.
And when will Fox get involved in this? When will Fox want to join the fight? I mean, because the Fox network is doing pretty well, especially on the West Coast. If ESPN starts to to wane a little bit, you know, and they're putting all their eggs in they got a lot of eggs in a lot of baskets, but maybe the Big 12 ends up in the Fox network somehow, and Fox says, let's go ahead and try to, we might as well, if this conference, if we can have two of them that we've got TV rights to, why wouldn't we take a chance there? Not going to cost us much, that's for sure. We don't have to worry about Oklahoma and Texas. Maybe we can get involved in that.
Well, and that becomes the issue. I mean, the Big 12 is already in bed with both ESPN and Fox, but at the same time, the Big 12 is a different animal without Texas and Oklahoma. We know that, and we talked about the TV ratings. But I'm just saying the Game of Thrones of conferences, the Big 12 is now fighting with the American Athletic Conference to stay alive, essentially, is what's happening in real time. And it's pretty clear, based on the voice of Bob Bowlesby this week, the eight remaining presidents plan to make it as hard as possible and as difficult as possible on Texas and Oklahoma on their way out. As far as finances, you know, the divorce is going to be messy. That's pretty clear. There, you know, we talked about, because look, I mean, as we said, was going to happen immediately. Let's check the temperature of these other conferences, their interest in the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or the ACC. If it comes back and, you know, not right now, we're not very interested, we're good where we are, then your next step is to approach the American Athletic Conference and try to poach there. But at the same time, now you just have to unite as the eight and try to fight like hell with Texas and Oklahoma as far as the legal battle to get as much of that money as they can. And that's, again, why Bob Bowlesby's so mad at ESPN, because he feels the four-letter network is interfering in this whole process, and they are playing favorites in an effort to pretty much abolish the Big 12, and then no one's got to deal with the Big 12 anymore, and those schools will just all land into the American Athletic Conference or somewhere else.
Well, the bottom, the Cincinnati's and the Houston's of the world, if they joined in, that I like that. I like that for college football still, and I think it's really, I think it's a competitive league with Texas Tech and Rice and Houston and Cincinnati.
Sure.
And whatever. And then the bottom half of that group, they go on and they can get into the Fun Belt. And the Fun Belt's been fun for college football. It was last year. It
or piqued everybody's, USA.
Yeah, it piqued everybody's interest. Either join those two, you're going to be left out in the dark. But, hey, the Fun Belt would say, come on with us. You guys,
well,
come on with us.
And let's be fair. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma were always two massive brands among a group of smaller brands, right? And much smaller brand in some cases when it was the 10-team Big 12. You know, if Oklahoma State and Texas Tech and
I forgot about them.
Look, if they fall in line with the American Athletic Conference, now you're talking about similar brands. I mean, Oklahoma State has been a bigger brand. But at the same time, it's Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's Lubbock, Texas. You know, what's your best course of action? If the three major conferences aren't interested, then you've got to build as good a power conference as you can, you know, with what's left. And you know, Cincinnati, that's a nice market. Central Florida, nice market in the state of Florida. Obviously, you know, they already have SMU in America.
Well, you can't have nothing.
Can't have nothing.
Yeah,
you have to be in a conference.
You can't have nothing. You can't not be in a conference.
And if the door seems closed on joining one of the big dogs, then you've got to make yourself as close to a big dog as you can, hope to retain that Power 5 status, and move forward.
Yeah, that puts you in there with Memphis and SMU and Temple and Central Florida.
Yeah, and that's not a terrible conference. It's not the SEC, it's not the Big Ten, but at the same time,
but you
time,
have a conference, you have a seat again.
Yeah, and if the Big 12 stays alive under the name Big 12, you maintain that Power 5 status. Now, obviously, if the American Athletic Conference wins this and they just poach the top for the Big 12 to join them.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. Why wouldn't TCU want to go into that? Why wouldn't teams like TCU, K-State?
And that's the next option.
Because it was the whole thing is that everybody, that the Pac-12 wanted Texas Tech so badly, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good, but like you said, now you're saying today that nobody wants them. If nobody really wants them, then now you got to go somewhere.
The thought on the Pac-12 was, would they be interested in expanding into the Central Time Zone?
Which makes sense.
And the word from the West Coast now is that they're not.
Okay.
Unless it's Texas. Unless it's Texas and Oklahoma, we'd be interested in that. But we're not going there for just Texas Tech. That's not going to move the needle enough.
And now we're talking about a Pac-12 that we didn't even know if they actually played football. They played like four games last year. Where were they? But you know what? They still have a brand, and their brand is still Stanford, UCLA,
well, and I would say,
Cal.
And I'd say this for the Pac-12. I mean, the COVID year was strange for everybody. But with name, image, and likeness, if you play football in the city of Los Angeles, California, that can be a pretty big deal. That's the second biggest
city. West Coast itself. I mean,
West Coast, Oregon, obviously, we've already talked
Washington.
About their recruiting benefits with Nike and Phil Knight.
And Washington and those teams, too.
Yeah, they can be into the conversation pretty quickly if NIL, name, image, and likeness, as it grows, You got a pretty good selling point on the West Coast. So that's where it stands. Obviously, the Board of Regents meetings at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll keep you posted there. What remains of the Big 12. But Texas and Oklahoma headed to the SEC officially as of yesterday, and it'll be even further official this morning. And we'll get into some of that. When does Texas get to play Texas A&M again? Will they be in the same four-team part of the SEC? We'll get into all those things throughout the course of the morning. And then that's just one of the top stories, obviously, today with the Olympics, the NBA draft last night, baseball's trades, Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers. Got to get Isaiah's thoughts on that. Just a busy, busy Friday. Glad you're with us. We're going to roll with it all morning long, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, what a Friday. About 15 top stories today. The Olympics continue. Trade deadline in baseball. NBA draft last night. Plus a big old blockbuster trade right ahead of it. And obviously the top story continues to be Texas and Oklahoma and a move to the SEC that will be finally finalized this morning at Board of Regents meetings on the campus of both schools. So there's somebody asked us on the Specs text line, Buck, says, could this have been prevented if the Big 12 would have poached other teams sooner? I think that's something we'll never know. I don't know, because I think the biggest thing that's changed in the last calendar year that has led to this is, A, the leadership at Texas, the new president and the new chairman of the Board of Regents, Kevin L. Tyfer, a couple of businessmen, business guys, who, and that on top, them being in control with this massive sea change of college athletics with name, image, and likeness and transfer portals and, the big business of college athletics. And you combine those two things, this could have happened a long time ago. Remember, go back to 2011 when A&M left to go to the SEC. There was thought then that Texas should go with A&M now and just, look, go. Be a part of it. But the Lost Dodds, wasn't ready to walk away from the other members of the Big 12 at the time. And, was mad at A&M for leaving. Of course, A&M was mad at Texas for the Longhorn Network and for getting, that online. And so, but Texas was looking to go bigger before. And so this 10 years between 2011 and 2021 was about, these two big brands, Texas and Oklahoma, really carrying the rest of the eight teams in this conference. And now with the changing business landscape of college athletics, I think it's the right business move. You just have to go. So even if you had added, Cincinnati and Memphis and BYU years ago, I don't know that it prevents this, because it's such a dramatic difference in industry than we've seen and what we're going to see in the next decade beyond, that it's just where you have to be at this point with Texas.
You would have had to bring names. Cincinnati, now you're begging to bring Cincinnati into your group, but you'd have had to have names from the Pac-12. You'd either had to bring a Colorado back, you'd have had to try to get to Washington, you'd have to have names in order to really
be
in play, but... And all you were going to get, all we were talking about the whole time is, do we bring Eastern Carolina? Do we bring...
Yeah, there wasn't a...
No, there was nothing big to bring into
BYU
this conference.
BYU was the biggest.
Yeah, and that's not going to do it. It's just a time for a change. And by the way, Texas has been just doing the entire conference, sorry, Oklahoma, just been doing a friendly for them for years and years and years. The brand is the brand, and you know what? You can hold hands with everybody for only so long. You can only... take care of people for so long, and the time was now, and the time was right to go. And with the ever changing, as you said, with name, image, and likeness, the whole works. If not, you're going to get set behind. Yeah, you could have stayed in your conference, and because eventually Oklahoma may have left you.
Oklahoma's been trying to go.
That's what I'm saying. You could have been blindsided by Oklahoma. It just so happens that you ended up in bed with Oklahoma. But Oklahoma was probably on the verge of going, all right, if Texas doesn't do it, we'll try to find our way into it without them.
Well, you know what I'm saying? There's no secret there. Even under David Boren, their previous president, they had looked and sorted.
So you got to go with that. It's perfect partnership to go with.
Well, that's why in the last year, that's what's changed. I mean, Oklahoma's been looking to go all along. They were looking to go to the Pac-12, and then they were looking to be in the SEC, but they couldn't get in without Texas.
People don't want to hear, but Texas has actually been the nice guy. That's hard to believe. Now,
well, I think that's
when they make their maneuvers and make their decisions that they're going, and the real hardware and the great lawyers and the people in Texas get together and say, we're going. That's it. We'll figure out all that other stuff later. But Texas basically has been the God, I know people hate it. They've kind of been the good guy for quite a while in this conference.
Well, look, there's really no way TCU athletics could ever make $35 or $40 million in media rights without being in a conference with Texas.
Texas Tech?
No.
No.
I mean, the Big 12 for 10 teams was getting $35 to $40 million annually in their media rights. That was mostly because of Texas and Oklahoma. And that's why when those two schools leave, those schools are going to see a significant pay cut no matter where, unless they
And
that's why they're panicked at this point at some level, because they're going to.
The group that better panic is the SEC, because all this stuff about Texas coming in and being just a part of it and partners, that's where you're wrong, my friend. When Texas comes into your conference, there's some expectations that they are slowly going to maneuver themselves into the right way. They're not going to be just somebody in there playing games. Maybe they'll win a bunch of games here soon in football or not. No. The whole system of Texas is going to be in your SEC. And I know Texas A&M didn't have very much, and they were getting better in football. But this Texas Longhorns are, we say, oh, they're just going to be a part of a conference. No, sorry. They don't go places and just be part of something. They have a big hand at the table.
I would also argue to that they've never had to. They've always been able to be the big dog because Southwest Conference they ran the roost along with A&M.
They've run it in the Big 12.
And they formed the Big 12 along with Oklahoma. And, of course, Nebraska didn't like the way their leadership style, so they left, and so did Colorado. And then soon after that, A&M and Missouri.
And the SEC's not going to like their attitude when they get there.
Well, and that's why I think Texas have to change their attitude a little bit.
Oh, really?
Well, because they've never been forced to. In this case, but this is the neighborhood you need to be in. That's the whole point. You need to be with like programs and big
that doesn't
brand
mean you
programs.
Don't try to take it over or be a bigger part than what you think.
I actually don't think that's possible in the Southeastern Conference, but that is my opinion. I think you can try. I mean, I think you can try to flex your muscle, but at the same time, there's a bunch of dudes in there that's got as big of muscles as you do, or if not bigger. That's never been the case. Texas has always been the big bully on the block in whichever conference they're in, and they're still a big brand, but they're not the biggest bully on the block in the SEC. They're just one of the bullies. And that will be intriguing to see how that develops.
Right.
But in the end of the day, I think it's a 100% a business move. And to the question, could it have been prevented? I really don't think so.
Will they be great partners once they're in?
I think that's an unknown. I hope they are. I would hope.
Well, I'm not saying they're trying to totally take over, but they're gonna want a little more say than you think. Because that's Texas.
And when you say Texas has been the nice guy, I think that was 100% true under DeLoss Dodds. DeLoss Dodds, you worked with him. He was your boss for a while.
Yes.
He is genuinely a great person. And, you know, when he was trying to orchestrate the move to the Pac-12 part of that whole Pac-16 idea was to bring Texas Tech and bring Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and take the some of the biggest brands in the state along with Texas into that Pac-16 to grow into a super conference. And obviously A&M was part of that, and they didn't want it. They were the ones that pulled the plug on that and agreed.
And see, people aren't getting me when I say they're not going to be like the bully, but they're going to slowly maneuver themselves in right situations, even in the SEC. They will be part of the power. Their brand is so big, they will be part of the power structure.
They're not going to be an also-ran.
That's what I mean. People aren't getting it. I'm saying slowly but surely, as years go on, Texas is not just going to be it's not going to be on what they do in football. They're going to work their way within that conference in a lot of different ways. They're not going to be, like you said, they're not going to be also-rans.
No, and they're too big of a Goliath of a brand. Now, can they be successful? And as we've said, I think in most of their athletic fields right now, they're on par and ready to compete with anybody in the Southeastern Conference. Yeah, football needs to raise its game.
I'm listening to that dude, Paul Feinbaum. That guy's like horrified. I'm like, dude, don't be horrified. Why are you so horrified? What do you think? He kind of likes it, but he hates it.
I think that's the general unknown. I mean, Because Texas has always been allowed to be the dominant force in their conference because they've pretty much formed the conferences and been they haven't formed the SEC. OCC's been around a long time. It's got long established traditions and ways of doing things. And, you know, when you join that neighborhood, it's a business move for you. You're joining the Premier League, essentially. You're going to have to fall in line with old ways and the old guard. But, yes, you'll try to influence things that you think are important. And
that's what I'm saying. The influences around what happens in the league. Not to my wins and losses. Don't get that part wrong.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. It's the way they throw themselves, like throw their weight around in a meeting.
It's not going to be like they're coming in, knocking down the doors. Right. Like what you saw of that meme that was out or whatever when Bradley Cooper comes to it. It's not going to be like that. No. But it is in a way, because you watch how he does slowly. That's just the way. That's the way of this brand.
The American Hustle video with Bradley Cooper. Well, look, I think most of the SEC and then the membership are excited to have that Texas in it, much like that video would show.
For sure.
This is a big brand. This is good for what we're doing long term. This is good for to be the premier conference in all of college athletics.
Absolutely.
But yes, Texas is going to have to learn to play and play fair, play and play alike.
For a while.
And you know, be around... You know, like programs, like institutions, and people that look like them. Speaking of look, by the way, see your New York Yankees. Has there ever been a bigger baseball team ever than the New York Yankees? We'll get into that.
They got size.
Dude, I don't know if they're any good, but they are huge. The Yankees could field a football team after acquiring Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo over the last 24
years. It's so strong.
We'll run through that.
The other guy from the Cubs still available?
Chris Bryant.
Is he still available? Any chance that we can grab him?
He would fit the Yankees, too, because he's about 6'4 and 2 1/4.
Can we get him, too?
Big strapping lad.
Yes.
But, yes, I mean, the Yankees, Judge is 6'7", 280.
Rizzo's a big, thick dude.
Yeah, Stanton's 6'6", 255. I mean, and then Joey Gallo comes in at 6'5 and 240. That's your outfield, Joe.
Rizzo and Gallo. In the Bronx. Nice.
Rizzo, Gallo.
Love that.
Yeah, man. Here they come. But are the Yankees a true contender? They certainly balance out their lineup right to left. I think that's fair to say with those two bats.
Too bad Rizzo, they can't pitch.
Well, Garrett Cole's supposed to be good. He got shelled the other day against the Rays. But Cole's a tall dude, too. They got the basketball team out there. But are they contenders? Dodgers, obviously, just throwing money around. They pick up Scherzer and Trey Turner. We'll get to that. I'll tell you what the biggest part of that deal may have been to get it done yesterday on the trade deadline, or on the eve of the trade deadline. Also, the rest of the top stories of the day. It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital streaming. Remember, you can watch us, too, on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hope you're having a great Friday. Glad you're with us. It's a jam-packed Friday with so much going on. Board of Regents meeting this morning, 9 o'clock. Texas Regents expected to ratify the decision of the Southeastern Conference yesterday to officially invite Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. Kevin Eltife is the chairman of that Board of Regents, and he has been one of the leaders in this move from Texas to the SEC. He was in Tyler last night, Buck. You know, he's from Tyler. He was a Texas congressman from that area and was given an award last night in Tyler. And so there was a banquet, and he spoke. We'll hear some of that sound coming up, talking about the move and why Texas is going where they're going, and why when, you know, he was – In the state capitol, and he was at Texas A&M back 10 years ago. You know, an interesting comment that he made about telling John Sharp at Texas A&M, look, you need to do what's best for you, and I will support that. Even though I'm a Longhorn graduate, but I also understand you are in charge of Texas A&M, and you guys have to do what you think is best for you, and I will support that, you know, in the state capitol side of things and not try to fight it. And, you know, 10 years later, you know, he's helping Texas make the exact same move amid, you know, folks in the state capitol not happy with it from other schools in the state because this is what's best for Texas right now. And I think most would agree. But at the same time, it's going to hurt some feelings and going to bring some rancor. Comes back at you just the way that goes, just like when Texas A&M left to go to the SEC 10 years ago. But now they're back together, at least as soon as they can get together. Is it 2022? Can you imagine, Buck, 2022, we could be back to having Texas and Texas A&M on or around Thanksgiving.
And not only that, you still got Oklahoma in the mix, which is the way it should be. Those three should be playing all the time. And then the addition of whoever it is, I'm not going to try to figure that out. That's for later on down the line when they get ready to actually play football. So there's a lot of things to go in between all that stuff. You know, when you were talking about baseball last night and, you know, with Rizzo and those guys, there is, like, movement all over the place. How is Scherzer getting to the Dodgers? You're talking about making it just an unstoppable group. You think the Yankees, they're going to be big, but they're not as powerful as the Dodgers. With that dude, it went heading that way. Holy moly.
Yeah, that was a big deal because, I mean, and the biggest part of that trade is that most of the day it felt like the Padres in their own division.
Yeah, that's
San
right.
Diego was about to acquire Max Scherzer.
That's right.
And you're thinking, okay, well, that's going to be huge. I mean, the Padres – you know, already have a really good team, and Fernando Tatis, and you know, everybody's trying to chase the Dodgers you know, obviously the Giants are the best team in that division right now.
Yeah, I love when Scherzer takes the mound. That guy's ass, man.
No, he's an absolute top of the rotation, give him the ball in game one of a big series guy. And that's his history. Now, he's 36, 37 years old, but he's still pitching great. And you don't sleep on Trey Turner either, because he's a tremendous player. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a tremendous short infielder, and he's coming there. Now, he's currently on the COVID list, but, you know, he'll be a huge factor for them. Well, I mean, look,
they don't even need a huge factor. There's still a bunch of games up. When they're not playing well, they still get up 12 games, 13 games, the Dodgers, because of the way they start the season all the time. Everybody's playing catch-up with them.
Yes, but to pull that off, not only to get him, to get Scherzer and Trey Turner, but also to keep him from the Padres,
yes,
who you may have to beat come playoff time. Look, it goes to baseball not having a salary cap, and you can just add as many great players as you want that you can afford to pay. And look, what did I read? That on their roster now, the Dodgers now have 10 former ten Cy Young winners, 10 all-time Cy Youngs. Bunch of MVPs. I mean, it's a stacked group. Obviously, they're dealing with the Trevor Bauer mess right now in Los Angeles, and they've got a couple of injury issues that they're dealing with. But, that's a monster trade. I mean, the Nationals, and by the way, they got a monster haul of prospects back. The Dodgers have a top catcher prospect. And a catcher is the hardest thing to find in baseball right now, and the Dodgers gave up their top young catcher and their top pitching prospect as part of the four prospects. So the Nationals, who also traded Kyle Schwarber, they won the World Series a couple years ago, but they're rebuilding. I mean, and they're doing it smartly. They're picking up top prospects out of good organizations to build around Juan Soto and the others moving forward. But Dodgers will be tremendous. And your Yankees, I mean, Yankees issues been bullpen, blowing leads in late in games, but also just being so right-handed dominant as a team with so many, right-handed batters. Clearly they needed to get some left-handed, sticks. And Anthony Rizzo is really a good, contact. He's not a power hitter.
He's an all-star, though.
He's a tremendous, and he's a great locker room guy, Rizzo, very funny guy. He'll fit in well in New York. And then Joey Gallo, we know he strikes out a lot, but he walks a lot. And boy, that short porch in right field, I mean, it's going to be dangerous there.
We spend a lot because we have a lot, New York Yankees.
Well, and I think quietly, the Houston Astros have this week added two really good arms to their bullpen. And there's still talk of Craig Kimbrell from the Cubs potentially. Because if the Astros fix their bullpen, I mean, they may be the best team in baseball, because their offense is already the best. Their starting pitching is among the best when it's 100% healthy. Their problem has been blowing games late and bullpen. You had Craig Kimbrell to go with Presley and Graveman, who you picked up this week. Astros are formidable, to say they already have the best record in the American League. They shore up that bullpen, they'll be right there with anybody.
And the Cubs just kind of disintegrate.
Cubs and Nationals. Yeah. Two teams that won World Series in recent memory are mailing it in, for sure.
I would say.
We'll get to that NBA draft. Longhorns had three players drafted last night in the two rounds, and they couldn't beat Abilene Christian. What do you know? But they did have three players drafted for only the fourth time in program history. We'll tell you who and where. Also, the other draft night moves, the Olympics. And the Longhorns are officially headed to the SEC. More to come, live, local, and digital, here on The Horn.